and all God's people said. Appreciate her singing for us this morning. Appreciate you being here. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me once again to the book of Jonah, please. In your bulletin, you will note that we have the notes from the last two Sundays, and also to throw you off, we also have the notes for this Sunday. So anyway, they are in your bulletin, so you can take them home with you, and hopefully they can help you in your growth, and certainly our goal. I'm going to read chapter 2. Last time we were in the book of Jonah. Last Sunday we read chapter 1, and we left off with the Jonah being swallowed by a great fish. That's the end, and you'll find in verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now that's where we were going to pick up. Now I want you to note in chapter 2 you find Jonah praying, and I want to remind you, so would you pray. If you were in the belly of a fish, you would be praying also. And here's his prayer. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all the billows and the waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me around about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, that the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And then he says in verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." Let's pray. Father, I do thank thee so much for your love. And Lord, we do thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, as we look into this book once again this morning, Lord, may we be able to grasp what is here and allow you to teach us. And Lord, change us into a vessel that you can do a greater work through. And Lord, we thank thee so much for your love for us. And Lord, the privilege to be here this morning and grow. And may that be the case, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to give you the background again, because it's important that we back up just a little bit and look at the prophet Jonah. As you note the book of Jonah, Jonah was a prophet who had lived at the time of Hosea and also Amos. And you'll note he came on the scene about 40 years speaking or preaching before the northern kingdom went into captivity through Assyria. And you'll note he was a man who was sent by God to the capital city of Assyria. This is the nation that's going to take Israel captive, to warn them of impending judgment upon them. Nineveh was the capital, that's modern-day Iraq, so you can put it in this context where we're talking on the Tigris River, a city that is given over to idolatry. They were very wicked and very violent people, and Jonah is sent to warn them of God's impending judgment upon them. And so that gives you just a little bit of the background, and Jonah's journey would be 550 miles approximately that he would have to travel to a city that was very walled. There was two walls, an outer wall and an inner wall. The inner wall was 100 feet high but 50 feet in diameter. And so the armies could go around the top of the wall and defend the city. So a very fortified city. But nonetheless, one that was quite large. As near as we can tell, it had about 600,000 people in the city of Nineveh. And this is who he sent to, and he speaks and gives a message for 40 days. Now, often we look at the book of Jonah, as we brought out last week, and we zero in on the life of Jonah. We're going to look at this morning. But as we brought out last week, it is much more than that. It is really, the book of Jonah is about God. And what we brought out last week, we see God in the book of Jonah. It reveals him as having a tremendous concern for the Gentiles and God's purpose for Israel. And of course, Israel is a theme throughout this book. He's trying to teach them and warn Israel also from going into captivity. It is also, the book reveals that God's sovereign work and faithfulness in accomplishing his purpose. You see, God sovereignly intervening throughout the whole book, doing miraculous, wonderful things to accomplish his purpose. The book also reveals the compassion of God that he has for mankind, for lost people. The book also reveals God's forgiving attitude that he has and his mercy toward God, toward people. It reveals a simple plan of salvation. It also reveals to us how we ought to fear God. All mankind ought to have a holy reverence for him. It also has at the end of the book a wonderful picture, you'll note, in the book of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as portrayed in the New Testament. And of course, that you'll find is about God. But where I'm going to spend time this morning is on the life of Jonah. And we're going to look at his life because we're able to see him. And you could title it many different ways. I call it that the life of a backslidden servant. You could say the life of a backslidden preacher. But nonetheless, Jonah was, although a prophet, he was backslidden. And my reason for preaching this is because we're able to see in the book of Jonah tremendous characteristics of a person who is not walking with God, not a vessel that is close to God, and a person who's really backslidden. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, okay, first of all, what is backsliding? Well, Israel is referred to as a backsliding heifer. You'll note in the Old Testament, you say, what is a backsliding heifer? Well, I'll give you an illustration of a backsliding heifer. We had a heifer that we tried to teach to lead to get it ready for the county fair. It was my daughter's pet, and it was so stubborn. We had to tie a rope around its neck and drag it with the tractor to teach it to walk and to follow someone leading it. So we had a Ford tractor that we tied it on the back, and we pulled this thing, and with all four, that thing is aiming the right way, but dragging all four. You've seen it, you've witnessed it, and that is what it means to be a backslidden person. We are aimed the right way. We might look okay. We might dress okay, we might smile at the right time, but really we're dragging our feet with all four, trying to stop from doing what God wants us to do. That is a backslidden person. He might look right, he might talk right, he might sing beautifully, or she might sing beautifully. They might be active in service, but in their heart, they're dragging their feet with all four, refusing to obey God. That's backslidden. That you find in the book of Jonah. Now, I'm going to take the chapters, first of all, and give you what is in each chapter, first of all, before we go through those characteristics. In chapter 1, we find, as you note in your notes, Jonah parting. Jonah is told, as you know, to go to Nineveh, and he goes down and takes a boat heading, or a ship heading, the opposite way. In fact, had he gotten to his destiny, he would have gone 2,500 miles the wrong way. So this man goes down, pays the fare, to go exactly the opposite direction of what God wanted him to go, which was to Nineveh. And so you find, in order to stop that, God intervenes and God sends a storm. And you'll note the mariners throw things overboard to try to save the ship because it was about to break up. But meanwhile, Jonah is down asleep in the bottom of the boat. You'll also note the mariners then wake him and ask him to pray. And then they cast lots to try to find out who was the cause of this great danger that had befallen upon them, and it fell upon Jonah. And then they get Jonah to confess and tell what he has done and who he is, where he's from, and what his occupation is. And Jonah tells them that he's going away from God and going the wrong way. And they ask him, what are we supposed to do? And Jonah gives them it's quite commendable, throw me overboard. And so they still try to save the ship. You'll note in chapter 1, they couldn't, and so they, guess what? They throw him overboard. The storm ceases. The mariners repent because they see that Jonah was obeying the one true God, the creator of all. And you'll note Jonah is then swallowed by a fish, a great fish. I believe it's a sperm whale, but maybe it was a particular fish that God created just for Jonah for that day. I do not know. But nonetheless, God performed a miracle. Then you come to chapter 2. You find Jonah praying. Chapter 1, he's partying, going the wrong way. Number 2, he's praying. And you would pray too. He's inside the belly of this fish. He talks about the seaweed. He talks about how horrible it is in there. You can't imagine being in there for 3 days and three nights. But nonetheless, he was. And we find that chapter ending with the fact that he's thrown up on dry land. And I mentioned last time, that just proves this, that you can't keep a good preacher down. Or you could go this way, you can't stomach him. And whatever, you want to take it. But nonetheless, God did a work, and God miraculous had him thrown up. Then you find in chapter 3 is Jonah preaching. So if you want a title for that, Jonah is preaching. And Jonah proclaims the message for 40 days, and he goes throughout. And you note the message is given over and over, and the people in a miraculous way believe the message, and they repent and turn to God. And you'll know God performs. Now this is, whether we want to say it or not, or you've thought about it, is probably one of the greatest revivals in history. God used a backslidden preacher in a miraculous way to have one of the greatest revivals ever known to mankind. You say, well, that gives me hope. God can use me. Yes, God can use you, and he can use me. God wants a submissive servant, but nonetheless, God is still God who can do unbelievable, wonderful things. And this was a tremendous revival that took place. They even had their animals fast. In the book of Jonah, you will find that. Then you come to chapter 4, as Jonah is pouting. That's, as I used, to put a caption on it. That's basically what happens. God does not destroy Nineveh. Jonah wanted Nineveh destroyed. He goes up on the side of a hill to oversee the city, to see God, how to send the fireworks to destroy them, and there was no fireworks. And Jonah is mad. In fact, he is angry at God in chapter 4, because God is not destroying Nineveh. And so what you find is there he sets down, he builds a hut to shade himself and set down and watch, and it doesn't happen. But God sends, and you'll note there is a gourd that grows up and gives him shade. But then a short time, a worm attacks that gourd, and the gourd dies. And Jonah becomes heated, and he's mad. He's mad that God has destroyed this gourd. And you'll note God teaches Jonah some lessons at the end of the book about his life, what he needed to learn. Now, I want you to notice several things, and I've given you seven characteristics that we need to measure, and we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, am I right with God, or do I have the heart and compassion and love for God that I ought to have, or am I kind of like this backslidden servant or this backslidden preacher? The first one is this: he was disobedient. The first characteristic, disobedient and running from God. One of the first characteristics of a backslidden preacher or a backslidden servant or a backslidden Christian is they are refusing to do what God wants them to do. Now, I want to ask you this question, and it's a little pointed. What area of your life do you know God wants changed and you are refusing to allow him to change it? I'll say that again. What area of your life do you know, according to God's word, that God has spoken to you about that ought to change, and you so far are saying, "No way, God"? Now let me ask you, what's the difference between you and Jonah? See, he was disobedient and running from God, refusing to obey God's word. God told him, "I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach and warn them." And Jonah goes down and pays the fare to go the absolute opposite way. Now my question is, what are you doing with your life? Is there some area that God has spoken to you and so far you've said no way? Some people, it's baptism, they just won't get baptized. Some people, it's giving, they won't give. Some people, it's witnessing, they will not witness. Some people, it's some type of a vice that they have in their life that they know they should give up and get rid of. For some people, it might be daily devotions. But I don't know what it is, but I know we all have the tendency to be like that stubborn animal, backslidden, refusing to go forward, disobedient and running from God. And my question is there an area in your life that God has spoken to you and you know, and so far you've just delayed, refused to obey? I think there's a second one. The second characteristic is Jonah was asleep while others were laboring. Now I want you to notice he was down in the bottom of the ship, totally oblivious to the danger that presented itself. He was totally oblivious to the task at hand, asleep. And how many Christians you can say that characterizes their life? They're willing to just sit and let everybody else do it. And they're willing to really do little. And they have a tendency to just say, "Give me, give me, give me, because I deserve it, I want it, I'm worth it." Is that you? Asleep while others are laboring and are oblivious to the danger that presented itself. The ship was about to break up. They were in grave danger. And the task at hand was insurmountable. What about you? How are you doing with your family? Are you training your family? Are you raising your family properly? How are you living before them? How involved are you in your local in the local church? How concerned are you about getting the gospel to someone else, warning them of the great danger they're in if they don't put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior? See, sometimes Christians are asleep while others are laboring. I think there's a third characteristic that I found. He ran to God only when the trials came. Now, I want you to notice chapter 2 that we read. I want you to note with me at verse 1, Jonah's in the belly of the fish, and it says, "And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Okay? When did he pray? When he was in trouble. I like to notice verse 7. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee." Very simply, Jonah prayed when there was a great need. He was not walking with God. He only prayed and ran to God when he was in trouble. Now, I want you to note, he was in big trouble. First in the ship, second in the whale or the fish. Now, what about your prayer life? Is that you? The only time I really pray is when there's problems, and then there's a trial, and when there's a huge need, boy, then I'm going to pray. See, that's not a walk with God. See, we're to walk with him every day. We are to spend time in prayer with him, and we're to walk with him and talk to him and listen to him. Is that a characteristic of your life? Well, it is if you're backslidden, that you're going to just run to God when there's a great need. I notice the fourth characteristic is this, is he was filled with pride and self-worth. Now, I want you to note in chapter 4, God allows the gourd to grow, and of course you'll note that, but I want you to look with me at verse 2 of chapter 4 of the book of Jonah. And here's what it says of chapter 4. Well, verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, I want you to note, he's angry at God. God did not do what Jonah wanted him to do. Jonah wanted God to literally destroy the Ninevites, to wipe them out. And he was mad. He was angry. I want you to notice, follow along, verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was it not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take my beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? I want you to think that through just a little bit. He is telling God off. He is telling God off. God, I told you, was not this what I was saying back there, that you are gracious and you're going to not do what I want you to do? And let me say, how many times is that us? We are mad at God for not doing what we wanted him to do. And we get angry, and we get bitter, and we get upset because we think we know better. And we know best. And see, that's the tragedy that some of us befall, is where we are proud and are filled with self-worth. That is possible for a Christian to be like. Now, I want you to know, this guy is a prophet. He is God's prophet. But he is backslidden. He's angry and filled with self-worth and self-pity. He requests to die. I want you to notice the sixth characteristic is this, is his misplaced priorities. Look with me at verse 6 of chapter, and the Lord prepared a gourd, and it came up over Jonah, that it might have a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass that when the sun did rise, and God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for that which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. Now I want you to know his misplaced priorities. He is so upset about things. You say, a gourd, okay? Yeah, a gourd. Some shade. Now let me ask you, what really makes you upset? What makes you upset? See, often our priorities are really messed up. We get upset over the things that absolutely are meaningless. could be our house, it could be a car, it could be somebody said something, somebody didn't say something, or somebody acted this way, or somebody did. Things that really are so small. You talk about misplaced priorities. He wanted 600,000 people to be smoked, destroyed. And he was upset over a gourd. You say, this is a preacher. Yeah, it is. It's a prophet who should have been concerned about people. I'd like you to notice lastly, and it goes right along with this, he was indifferent and hardened to the needs of men. And here's what God says. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Jonah was more concerned over a gourd than he was the souls of men. He was upset over a gourd dying and not upset over 600,000 people being destroyed. And see, I think sometimes we as Christians can get so off balance that we become very much like Jonah, where things are so important to us, and meanwhile, we've not even invited our neighbor to church, we have not given anyone the gospel, we've not witnessed to anyone, we have not given them their testimony, we have not warned them of impending judgment, because if they do not know Christ, they will not get to heaven. But oh, how we can be upset. We watch the news and the politics and what's happening and what isn't happening. This happened and this didn't happen, and on it goes. Are they important? Yeah. But are they the most important thing? They really are not. And see, every one of these things this pastor can have a problem with. I can refuse to do what God wants me to do. I really can. I can basically be asleep to the needs of others and not even really care. I can be one who doesn't walk with God, who just only goes to God when I have needs and trials and heartaches or changes that happen. I can be one who is very bitter that God didn't do what I wanted him to do and what I thought he should do because my way was right. I can be one who's filled with pride and self-worth, who has misplaced priorities, and who is totally indifferent to the real needs of people. Now, most of the messages that I preach are extremely positive, but this one I could not pass up, because every one of us as Christians can fall into the same trap and be just like Jonah. We really can. And maybe you say, well, Pastor, I only have one of them where I'm really, well, that could be. But God wants us to not have any. And he wants us to not backslide and not be stubborn and not be rebellious and not be disobedient and not have misplaced priorities, and not be indifferent to the needs of men. He wants us to walk with him and love him and have him first place and obey him in all things so we can be a vessel that really is used by him. But I want to ask you this question. Are you, like Jonah, a little bit backslidden, a backslidden preacher? I hope not. But I want you to look at your life, and I want you to measure it according to God's word and see how you're doing. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. No one looking around. I want to speak, first of all, to the Christians that are here. What area of your life are you refusing to obey God in? You just so far are stubborn and rebellious in this area. Could be something you're supposed to be doing. It should be, could be something you're doing and you know you should not be doing. And you just will not give it up. The second one is, are you asleep while others are laboring, or are you doing your part in the cause of Christ? Thirdly, how is your walk with Him? Are you walking closely with the Lord where you spend much time in prayer, or are you one that only runs to God when there's really a problem? Are you a little bit bitter at God because God didn't do something that you thought He should do? Because you thought you knew better? Or are you one that's filled with pride and self-worth that you're going to tell God what to do and tell Him off for not doing what you wanted because you knew better? Are you one that has misplaced priorities, where the things of this world are more important than the things of God? Things that pass away. And lastly, are you indifferent and hardened to the souls of men? How many, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to me, and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest. That's the only way I can grow, is I need to be honest. I am a Christian, but I've been spoken to this morning. The Holy Spirit pointed out a need that I have, and right where I am going to ask God to forgive me and change me and help me get victory in this area of my life so I can be used. And you say, Pastor, I have a need. Will you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Several, what about you? What about you? Anyone else? Secondly, I want to ask this question. Maybe you're here and you are not sure that you're on your way to heaven. We'd love to sit down with you and show you from God's word. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to even have you come forward. We just want you to speak to us afterwards and allow us to show you from God's word how you can be sure. Is it with Sebastian Moeller? I'm not sure. I just want to know the truth. Will you have someone show me from God's word how I can be sure that I'm on my way to heaven? Will you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I have a need. Anyone? Anyone? Okay, I see your hand. Anyone else? If you raised your hand and you're not sure, please talk to us afterwards. And we'll have a lady talk to a lady, and a man will talk to a man. And we'll show you from God's word. Our Father, do thank thee so much for your word, and we thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. Lord, we thank thee so much for the book of Jonah, that first of all, we're able to look at the wonderful picture of the God we serve, a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of compassion, a God who has all power to do miraculous, wonderful things. But Lord, help us also to see how backslidden even a preacher can really be. And Lord, we ask you to help us to look at our lives and measure our lives by your word, Lord, that we might please you in all things. And Lord, that we might grow and that we might be a vessel that you can use. And Lord, be with each hand that was raised, representing a particular need. And Lord, we ask you to meet their need. And Lord, may they grow, may they get victory, and may they be used. And Lord, we ask you to give us a good day. And Lord, as we have the opportunity tonight to grow, as we watch the video, Behold Your God, Lord, may it indeed be the time in which we grow to know you in a greater way that we might be used. And Lord, give us a wonderful day, for asking in Jesus' precious name. Amen.